Welcome to Nightlife, bite-sized travel.
Have you been dreaming of an in-country getaway? Whether you want to go on a big trip or just a weekend respite, exploring what Australia has to offer is a great delight. Although finding a right hotel to wine and dine and of course rest your head can be quite tedious. There's nothing worse than booking an overpriced and underwhelming room. Well, this process has been made a little bit easier with the Gourmet Travellers 2017 list of Australia's best hotels. Hooray! The winning list is produced by a team of reviewers. They act like secret shoppers. They don't get to stay for free. The hotels don't know who they are. And they check into hotels unannounced, pay their own way, and then tell a Gourmet Traveller what they thought. I'm joined by the new editor, Sarah Oakes, to tell us all about the best places to stay in the country. Sarah, good evening and welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yes, well, it's good to have you here too in the non-hotel-like surroundings of our Nightlife studio. What makes a good hotel anyway?
I think there's a couple of fundamentals that make a great hotel, and they're probably things that never change, and a lot of things do change in the hotel industry. Exceptional service. We're paying, you know, often premium prices. Mm. We want to have a really good experience. There's comfort. I mean, I really think, you know, we make jokes about pillow menus, but how comfortable you are in a bed that's not your own, the climate, you know, the room being too cold or too hot, these are really critical factors to how we, you know, we spend a lot of our time in that room sleeping. Some of us, others may do other things, party and whatnot. And, you know, really good service. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always in two minds about hotels because if I'm in an exciting place, I mean, I love staying in a nice hotel. Who doesn't?
Yep.
But if I'm in an exciting place, so I don't want to spend too much time in the hotel room. Yep. I want to spend, you know, most of the time, you know, seeing where I am. So hotels with too much stuff in them can be a bit distracting, can't they? Do you think?
Look, I see your point, but the thing about a lot of the hotels that make this list and a lot of the hotels that people talk about as quite exciting these days, it is about all of those distractions. Mm. Now, the number one hotel on our list this year is called the Jackalope, and it's this genre of hotel which is the design and art hotel, which tend to be really ambitious designs, hotels.
Where is it?
This one is in the Mornington Peninsula.
Right.
And to your point, you know, a hotel is sometimes like, I'm going to the Mornington Peninsula, so what hotel should I book? When a fantastic hotel opens, something of this kind of scale, it's like, I'm going to go to the Mornington Peninsula to go to this hotel because the restaurants are so phenomenal, because the art is something I want to experience, because it's in a beautiful setting. Mm. I mean, some hotels are just so good, you do want to stay in the room. But of course, there's the other kind of traveler where I'm just going to use my hotel as a convenience and I just want to be in the center of town. But the ones that we're really celebrating in this list are the ones that go that extra mile and that are something that's really worth investing in to see because they've really got that X factor and are quite special.
This joint is a $40 million development.
Mm.
It's not cheap and it's not cheap to stay there.
No.
Are developers getting their money back on these kinds of developments? It's a lot of money to play onto a hotel.
It is. And I mean, it is actually worth looking at the pictures of this place because it's sort of like your traditional 1870s style Australian homestead on a vineyard. And the $40 million is in a kind of very dramatically designed addition to this homestead. We're talking like charred wood, black metal, neon lights. People describe it as just like nothing you've ever seen before. One of the rooms has 10,000 light bulbs on the top of it, like brass light bulbs roaming along the top of it. So these are things that, I don't know, when you have these kind of experiences, I think maybe that is worth the money.
So what makes it great though? I mean, so it's obviously got a great bed. It's got great pillows. Has it got a great breakfast?
It's got great breakfast. It's got a couple of dining options. Mm. I mean, I guess it's like staying in a really quite an incredible museum because there's also a lot of art. Like one of the first things you'll see when you turn up to this hotel is a 7-meter high jackalope. Mm. A jackalope.
What's a jackalope?
It's a fun fact. It is a folk creature from North American folklore. It is a...
What's it doing in the morning? What's it doing in the Mornington Peninsula?
It's just hopped into the Mornington Peninsula, funnily enough. It's a rabbit with horns, like a sort of cross between a rabbit and antelope, mm-hmm. jackalope.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's like a yowie, except that it's not.
Sort of like a friendlier, fuzzier version.
Halcyon House won the award for best service. What makes for great service?
It's a lot to do with timing, and it's a lot to do with the people, and that's a lot about the culture of the hotel, the people being happy and happy to be there and happy to work with you and, meet your requests.
Yeah. The essence of great service, I always thought, is not that people jump all the time, is it? The essence of great service is that people seem really happy to help you.
That's right. And I think that's why this category is often won by small hotels. Small hotels with smaller teams, sort of more intimate setting.
Yeah.
People probably know each other. It's more like a family.
I once stayed in a hotel where I was sitting in the lobby waiting for something, and I really felt like a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And so I asked if I could have a cup of tea, and absolutely I could have a cup of tea. In fact, but they suggested, don't have it here, come and have it here, which is like there was a little sunny nook.
Aww.
Yeah, they didn't have to do that, but I thought that was the essence of great service.
That is, a
cup of tea was the same, but I mean.
Yeah, little things.
Dining's important too, isn't it?
It is.
I love the fact that there is a category for best club sandwich. Because it's only in hotels that you have a club sandwich.
Why would you ever have a club sandwich?
You can't. No.
It doesn't exist.
Sarah, you can't have a club sandwich outside. It's a worldwide hotel rule that only hotels have club sandwiches.
Now, you can go with either the chicken or the turkey. It's a bit of division on what the classic is. Do you have a preference?
It's got to be chicken.
It's got to be chicken. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a simple combo of, chicken, bacon, tomato, lettuce, and you've got to have a little hors d'oeuvre pick to hold it all together.
Correct. Otherwise, of
sandwich,
course,
but this year, controversially, the winner, which is the Louise in the Barossa Valley, it's on a brioche bun. It's not on your traditional sandwich bread. So we've gone wild.
That's wrong.
Really? It's very good. I can. I've had it on good authority that is
the best breakfast is the Grand Hyatt in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Well, they ought to do. They ought to do well.
Yeah.
Australians do great breakfast, actually, don't they? There are lovers of the Europe. I mean, Europeans have, their breakfast with their meats and cheeses and things, but Australians seem strangely unsatisfying when we look at all that spread.
We just do the best breakfast in the world. I just think there's no question. And I don't know if when you're in the States at the moment, there is this trend in there. Cafes there that they serve you an Australian breakfast.
Yeah.
So you'll order Australian breakfast, which is avocado on toast, which I think speaks to how renowned we are for our breakfast in this country. Yeah. I know that that's just...
Because once upon a time, that's right, there was continental breakfast, wasn't there, which was a packet of cereal and orange juice. And then there was, or you could have a full cooked breakfast, which was really, often traveled as the English breakfast, which was bacon and eggs, sausage, tomato.
Yeah.
Baked beans, maybe.
Yeah.
But there's another way of breakfast, which we have in this country too, which is other stuff, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. We've really, we've really evolved that humble breakfast through, into this kind of trends of eating really clean and healthy and making breakfast, light and then making breakfast really exciting and exotic. And we've come at the other end. And in fact, later in this issue, outside of these hotel awards, we look at some of the really experimental and interesting new things cafes and restaurants are doing in breakfast around Australia.
Mm. Very good. The best hotel is in regional Victoria.
Yep.
Obviously not the Jackalope. Where was the best?
It won that category as well. So good it is. Cleaned up.
Okay. Do you have to mortgage your house to go and stay there? Sort of. Yeah.
It's around, and look, I'm sure it changes depending on when you go, depending on what time of year it is and what week night. But it's around $695.
Yeah. So it's not for every day. Still, going to stay at a great hotel is a special experience.
Yeah.
There is a bit of a boom in building them too, which I'm surprised at, because you would have thought that a lot of the online booking services and the comparison services would have been driving, the margins in hotels down, really, on Airbnb and places like this. Are they knocking over the budget end of the hotel market? And
yeah, I think they are. And what they're doing to the other end is pushing people to do hotels that are experiential, like this one, that you go because it's more than just a room and it's it's not a place you want to run out and explore the surrounding cities. You want to really stay there and enjoy that everything that it has to offer.
Sure.
So I think what you'll find with all of these new hotels that are opening, and there's like 120 on drawing boards across Australia right now, is I think we'll see more hotels with an emphasis on design and on art. You know, like Mona, like Hotel in Canberra. It's certainly like the QT hotels in Sydney and Melbourne. There's certainly a lot of them around, and I think you'll find at that top end, more and more of them are going to be like this, and it'll make for a really interesting experiences. And I think you'll see them outside of the capital cities as well. I think you're going to see them in regional areas like Mornington, all over Australia.
Sarah Oakes is with me. She's the editor of Gourmet Traveller, new editor actually, and we're talking about the best hotels in Australia because their list is out, and you can consult them if you want to know more or about it. But we're talking about hotels in general too. Do people go to places, not hotels, don't they, mostly?
I think so. I think that's your starting point. Mm. You decide where you want to go, and then I think the next thing you do is where are you going to stay? And then I think the immediate next thought is start planning where you're going to eat. And it's handy if that hotel can kind of help you navigate those important decisions about where you're going to eat and what you're going to see. And that's one of the things that, you know, staying in an Airbnb doesn't always give you that kind of personal contact and direction and service.
Sure.
Very different experiences.
Do Australians do good hotels compared to overseas destinations? You've travelled around a bit.
I have travelled around a bit. We have world-class hotels here. And more and more we're starting, you know, this trend of doing these kind of art designer hotels.
Yeah.
We're a little bit behind on. It's something that's been going on in the rest of the world for a little bit longer, but we're really, you know, quickly catching up. So it's a really exciting time for the industry.
Mm. I mean, Australians have often thought if they go for a holiday, the benchmark is a kind of an Asian hotel because the Asian hotel experience is, you know, is sumptuous. There's so much stuff and the pools are huge.
Yeah, it's the scale,
and the
isn't
scale
it?
Of them. They're always great, vast places.
Yeah.
Although a lot of people do prefer smaller hotels. I mean, the Old Clare Hotel's won Best Boutique Hotel of the Year.
It has.
What makes a boutique hotel?
Well, you're not going to find the scale of those Asian hotels in Australia. We don't really have the population for a lot of hotels that size. But what you'll find, one of the things we do really well is those small boutique hotels. And boutique just means a small hotel.
Just means little.
Yeah,
doesn't have many rooms.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be a spectacular experience.
Probably doesn't have a pool.
Yeah, you'd be familiar with the Clare, surely. It's just around the corner, really.
Yes, well, I've done my hotel. I mean, if I save up, I can stay in hotels. I guess. What's evolving in the hotel industry, Sarah? This experiential thing you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Trend?
And the other thing is that, you know, has been going on for some time, but will continue to evolve, is making sure hotels are sustainable. Mm. So it's really important to people when they're booking hotels that, the design of the hotel or the way the hotel has run, you know, it's done in a sustainable fashion, particularly with these new ambitious projects. Mm. So that's changing. You'll notice in the best minibar section of these awards that everything in the minibar is free. So I guess it's also about, surprising you and giving you even better service.
I like to have some stuff in the minibar.
Yeah, are you? Because, I mean, there's two camps. You're either, like, prepared to pay $7 for a Toblerone or you're not.
Yeah. I don't do that.
No, you don't.
But so I like something there. I mean, I like if there's – it ought to be reasonably priced.
Of course, yes. Yes.
And I don't want a lot of stuff.
No.
Just some stuff.
And, me too. Because particularly if I'm in a hotel for work.
Yeah, you get there late.
Yeah, I have very little self-control. If there is some good chocolate going on, I'm definitely going to be
into it,
throwing abandon to the wind about the cost and just getting into it. But yeah, I would say that's another trend as well, that there's just more comforts from home that are surprising. A lot of hotels now are bringing back that kind of the small gift on arrival. Like there might be freshly baked biscuits before bed. There might be, a bottle of wine from the region for you to try. A lot of, kind of highlighting regional produce.
Stuff like that's
good. Important. Yeah.
Nothing like a biscuit.
Yeah. No.
Or a piece of fruit.
Biscuit. Yeah.
dear, hotels, dream on. Australia's best hotels have been revealed in Gourmet Traveller, and you can find out from the latest issue what they all are. It does make for some, as you know, on this segment, when we go armchair travelling, and there's nothing like armchair hotel shopping too. It's just beautiful. And now another thing, just before we go, Sarah, but remember bargaining hotels. Hotels are often up for a discussion about price, particularly if you ring up, you know, on the day and say,
you mentioned this to me before we went to air, and I was fascinated. And
they often are.
So,
I'm here in town.
Yes,
you know, do you have a room? Yes, we do. Look, what's the best you can do it for?
That's fantastic. And this, and
they often do something. They usually will do something for you because to them, it's a sunk cost anyway.
Great. You know, what's the kind of discount you're getting when you ask for a discount?
What's
your best deal?
Well, at least 40%.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. There's also
be nice about it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I will. Yeah. another good tip is there's fantastic app called Hotel Tonight. There's a lot of apps like it where really good hotels upload when they've got spare rooms they really want to get rid of. They really drop the prices hard, and you can get on this app and book last minute and get some really good deals. I mean, there's a lot of websites that do that
as well. There's a lot of price comparison websites, aren't there? They all work to an extent too, I suppose. Yeah, they're good for work, but the trouble is you can never get rid of the beasts once you've booked because they keep bombarding you with stuff.
Newsletters for life.
Correct, yes. Lovely to talk with you, Sarah.
You too.
Happy travelling. And
you.
May you always have sweet dreams in whatever hotel you're in.
Oh, how lovely. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.